Imagine Jesus is sitting next to you.
Hy steek sy hand uit na jou.
He wants to tell you something.
Hy wil met jou gesels.
He wants to laugh with you.
En hy wil saam met jou huil. Hy wil hoor wat binne jou hart lê.
And what thoughts keep your mind busy?
Hy wil luister na die stories wat jy wil deel.
He wants to be your friend.
Jesus, die omgeebeeld, die vriendskapbeeld van God.
What is the definition of friendship to you?
Do you think of God as your friend?
Wat 'n vriend wil jy vir God wees? Ontvang tot vriendskap.
Well, it's really good to be with you again here at Mosaic as we continue our Lenten journey. And I'd like to begin by sharing with you some words that Jesus spoke nearing the end of his own ministry. I want to read from John chapter 15. And I'm going to read from verses 12 to 15. Listen carefully for God's word. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." And so we thank God so much for those words that come to us from Jesus today. We pray that through those words that God will speak a living word to each one of us today. I can still remember the very first Christian book that I ever read. Just after I had given my life to Christ as a teenager, someone put into my hands a book written by a British Methodist minister by the name of Leslie Weatherhead. And the title of that book was The Transforming Friendship. I've never, ever forgotten that title. That title burnt into my soul two deep convictions that have shaped my faith and my life for over 50 years. On the one hand, that title burnt into my soul the conviction that at the heart of the Christian faith, there lies a friendship. That the mind-boggling, grace-filled, extravagant good news of the Christian faith is that God wants to live in friendship with you and with me. That through Jesus Christ, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, God has done everything necessary to make that friendship freely available to everyone and to anyone. And that is why today, right now, I can come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you're from, and I can say to you with confidence, God wants to be your friend today. And then on the other hand, that title burnt into my soul the conviction that within that friendship with God, God transforms our lives. That when we open up our lives to friendship with Christ, His Spirit comes to live within us, and His Spirit begins to transform us gradually. And it's a deep transformation. It's a transformation from pretense towards transparency. It's a transformation from self-interest towards other-centeredness. It's a transformation from self-centeredness towards living a life that is centered in God's will and God's reign. And that's the kind of transformation that takes place within us. And as it takes place within us, we ourselves become agents of transformation in God's broken and bruised world. Now, I begin on this note because what I want to do today, very simply, is I want to extend an invitation to you. It's an invitation to wake up to this good news that God wants to live in friendship with you and me. I love those words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 15, verse 15. He says to his disciples, I do not call you servants. I have called you friends. Now, we really need to grasp that because I think sometimes we almost prefer a master-servant relationship with God. When we have a master-servant relationship with God, we can keep a polite distance from God. When we have a master-servant relationship with God, all the responsibilities and tasks are clearly defined. But when we enter into a friendship with God, we enter into that world of a dangerous intimacy that will transform our lives radically and forever. And so, in order just to whet your appetite for this friendship, I want to share with you very, very simply today three discoveries that we will make when we enter into this friendship. And the first is this: when we wake up to friendship with God, we discover that we can share ourselves honestly with someone who loves and accepts us unconditionally. That's one of the deepest dimensions of prayer. Now, I know that prayer has got many, many different dimensions. But I want to suggest today that one of the deepest, deepest dimensions of prayer is learning to share ourselves honestly, honestly, with someone who loves us and accepts us unconditionally. Learning to share our joy, our sorrow, our sadness, our heartbreak, our losses, our griefs, our angers, our confusion, our bewilderment. We can share ourselves honestly with God as our friend. Now you may say to me, and this is a good question. You may say to me, Trevor, but why share yourself with God? Surely God already knows what's in your heart? And I want to say very carefully today that when we share ourselves with God, it's not about giving God information that God hasn't got. It's about deepening intimacy with our friend. So that as we share ourselves with our friends, so our friends' love and grace can enter into our lives ever more deeply. I'm a parent of two children. They're adults now. I know often when they're going through a very difficult time. And then sometimes when they're going through a difficult time, they will come and they'll say to me, Dad, I want to share something with you. Now, when they start sharing what they're going through with me, I don't say to them, you don't have to tell me because I know that already. Because it's not about information. They're not giving me information. They are sharing themselves with me and they are giving me access into their lives. And as they share what they are going through, so my love, my care, my compassion, my affection for them can enter their life more deeply. And as a result of them sharing with me, our relationship deepens even more. So that's the first thing I want to say. When we wake up to a real friendship with God, we discover that we can share ourselves honestly with someone who loves us and accepts us unconditionally. But we make another discovery. When we wake up to friendship with God, we discover that we are God's partner in God's family business. God's running a family business. God's core business in this world is that God wants to bring God's healing and God's transformation into God's broken world. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God loves this world. God wants to heal it, save it, redeem it. And God calls us as his friends to be his partners in making this world a better place. For a moment, can you think about where you're going to be tomorrow, Monday? Perhaps you're going to be at home looking after the grandkids. Perhaps you're going to be teaching in a classroom. Perhaps you're going to be working on someone's car. Perhaps you're going to be online dealing with clients. Perhaps you're going to be in a theater doing an operation. Perhaps you're a plumber. You'll be working on cleaning someone's dirty drains. I don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. But when we become God's friend, we become God's partner in God's family business wherever we happen to work. And so our work, you see, isn't only a matter of making some money. Our daily work becomes a place where we seek to bring God's reign and God's will into effect. I think of a person that I know well. She's a nurse on casualty in Benoni, and she lives in a friendship with God. And I know that every day that she goes into that hospital, she sees herself as God's partner in God's family business. I've watched her during COVID. She doesn't just care for patients, but I've watched her as she goes that extra mile. She takes photographs of patients who can't see their loved ones so that there can be some kind of communication. She takes messages from families to their loved ones who are in hospital. I watch her living as God's partner. Can I invite you tomorrow, as God's friend, to live as God's partner in God's family business of making this world a better place? But there's one more thing I want to say. When we wake up to friendship with God, we discover that we are never, never alone. You may remember that Jesus' closing words to his friends, his closing words are, I will be with you even until the end of the age. I'll be with you forever. You'll never be alone. You know, there's so many different kinds of loneliness, aren't there? And you may be living in a loneliness right now. I just think of the loneliness when you've got to make a decision and it's up to you. That's a very lonely moment. The loneliness of struggling with depression and anxiety. No one sees that struggle, but it's within you and you feel alone in it. The loneliness of leadership, of running a business on your own where the buck stops on your desk. That's a lonely space. The loneliness of going through a divorce. And the deepest, deepest loneliness of all when we lose someone that we have loved so, so deeply. That aching loneliness of loss and of grief. And it's as we enter into a friendship with God, a living friendship with God, that we begin to discover in these moments the reality of his living presence and friendship with us. Some years ago, I came across a beautiful dedication in a book to Jesus. This book was called Never Alone. It was written by a guy called Joseph Gazzoni. And when I read that dedication, it struck me, this is my story too. And so I just want to end this message with that dedication. And so I want to dedicate this message today to my friend who is always by my side and in my heart, who is never far when I am lonely and confused, who always gives peace to my soul when I'm troubled and frightened and fearful of the future. I share with him my deepest secrets, my joy, my sorrow, my accomplishments, my shame. He always understands. He never accuses or criticizes, but often suggests a different way of doing things. And when he does, he inevitably prepares the way, so it is not as impossible as I thought it might be. Over the years, I have learned to trust him. It was not easy. I thought that in following him, I would have to give up all the fun in my life, but I found that he is the source of all joy and adventure. And indeed, he turned my life into a great adventure at a time when I thought it was about to come to an end. And I would like to suggest that he could become your friend too, if you would like him to be. Do not be afraid. He will respect your freedom and your independence more than anyone you have ever met, because he created you to be free. He just wants more than anything that you will accept him as your friend. And if you do, I can promise you, you will never be alone. I invite you to pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this astonishing good news, that you want to be our friend, that through Jesus, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, you've made it possible for your friendship to be offered freely to each one of us today. By faith, we want to turn to you, and we want to accept your outstretched hand of friendship, that we may learn to live as your friend and as your partner in your family business that is going on right now in this world. Lord, we want you to be our friend, and we want to live as your friend. And we ask for this with all the love and all the longing of our hearts. Amen.